Okay, Rosh Hashabi. We're going to speak about the topic of Hasadas Nachla today. I know it's been a while for many of us since we've been in those sugya, so I'll make sure to refresh ourselves of the Gemaras as we go. So let's begin with Hasadas Nachla in Torah Shebichtav. We know that the conclusion of Parshas Maaseh at the end of Sefer Bamidbar establishes this Isser of Hasadas Nachla. And we'll try to define the Isser very precisely as we go. But for now, in just a colloquial definition, there's an Isser for a woman to marry into a different Sheva, such that her Nachala will transfer from her original Sheva to the Sheva of her Baal or of her son. So, despite the fact that this is an entire Parsha in Torah Shebichtav, the Monei HaMitzvos, for the most part, putting the Rasadragon and the Bahag to the side for now, Monei HaMitzvos, for the most part, the Rambam and the Chinuch, do not count this mitzvah, and that's eminently clear and obvious, especially based on the Gemara in Bava Basra and a number of places, Kuf Chaf Amun Aleph, as one of them, that extrapolates from the Pasuk, Zeh HaDavar, Davar Zeh Lo Yehinoheg Ela Bidor Zeh, that the Isser Hasava is limited to the door of Ba'ei Ha'aretz. So the question that I want to address at the outset here is, why should we limit the Isser of Hasava to the door of Ba'ei Ha'aretz? What's the connection between Eretz Yisrael and the mitzvah of Hasavas Nachla? So that connection is really, the question is really just a way of framing the discussion, but it's really not a question at all. When you go to the Psukim in source number one, so the connection between Nachla and the structuring of Eretz Yisrael emerges very, very clearly. So you have the Rashi Ha'avos of Mishpach B'nei Gilad, Ben Machir, Ben Menashe, and Mishpachos B'nei Yosef, and they express concern that since Benos Slavchad are going to get their Nachla from Slavchad, so eventually if they marry whomever they choose, that Nachla is going to transfer from Shevet to Shevet. Pasuk Gimel, v'hayu le'echad mibnei shivtei v'nei Yisrael l'nashim, v'nigre'a nachla son minachlas avusenu, v'nosaf ha'nachlas ha'mateh asher tiyen alohem. So there, just if we take the word just very simply, you have a practical problem. You have that the nachla of one shevet is going to be stripped from that shevet, and it's going to be given to another, it's going to end up uneven, or at least not according to its original plan. And then on top of that, umigora nachalosenu higorea. So it almost sounds like this is repetitive. Like, obviously, if the Nachla is going from one Sheva to another, then one's losing and one's gaining. So what are you saying? Umigora nachalosenu higorea. So this Lashon of Geiraon, Rebbe quoted in the Hakdamash here, where Bnos Tzlavchad use that word themselves. They say, Lama yigara shem avinu mitoch mishpachto. So it's an interesting parallelism here that you have the Lashon of Geiraon, both with respect to the Nachla of an individual and a family, that's in Parashas Pinchas, and also with respect to the Nachla of a Shevet, which is here at the end of Parashas Maaseh. In addition to that, so you have turn to a pasuk Zion. Velosi sov nachla l'bnei Yisrael mimata l'mata ki ish b'nachlas mate avosav yidbiku b'nei Yisrael. So of course we know we'll get into these Gemaras that the Torah repeats this Isser of Hasava. It has two different formulations in the negative and in a formulation in the positive. Something that the Gemara deals with. So which either could I've heard from Rebbe in the past where whenever the Torah repeats a lav, so that's for one of two reasons. It's either because it's trying to take away from, meaning you might have thought that something is more kal, so you need to emphasize it even more, or it's precisely because it's so chamor that we're emphasizing it so much. So I think it's probably the latter in this case. And we have here the Lashon of Yidbiku b'nei Yisrael, that there's supposed to be a devikus between the Shvatim and their Nachla. If you turn down to the Nitziv in source number 3, so he points out that the Nachla of Eretz Yisrael is not the same as Nachla of Chutz La'aretz. From a monetary perspective, they may be the same, but from a hashkafic perspective, maybe you could say they're not the same. It's almost playing on the language that we have in Yerusha, where you have Yerusha Sabal, that's Mishum She'irus and Devekus, whereas the other Krovim are just Krovim. So it's interesting that the Netziv points out that we have a special relationship with the Stei Achuza, the Nachala, that we're going to get in Eretz Yisrael. And of course, this Parsha comes on the heels of other Parshios, other Dinin, that are very much about Eretz Yisrael. In Parshas Maaseh, right before this, we have the Gvulos, where we're setting up what Eretz Yisrael is going to look like. And then after that, you have the whole parasha of Ari Miklat, making sure, which is a din specifically in Eretz Yisrael, making sure that Eretz Yisrael is a place that accentuates and reflects, you know, the Hashkafas HaTorah of being a safe headquarters for all of Klal Yisrael. So right after that, the conclusion of Sefer Bamidbar, right before we're about to step onto Iver HaYardin and about to enter Eretz Yisrael, what's the din that we meet? The din of Hasavas Nachla. So just saying that, you know, the connection between Hasavas Nachla and Eretz Yisrael emerges very clear. And probably the idea is that Eretz Yisrael is supposed to be structured in a very ideal and specific manner. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a divine plan that's going to be carried out through a Goral. And that plan needs to be stuck to, and Hasavas Nachla is going to mess with that. And therefore, the problem of Hasavas Nachla from this context is that it's going to undercut the divine plan for what Eretz Yisrael is supposed to look like. So that's really what the Ramban and the Yad Ramah both point out. If you take a look at the Ramban Al HaTorah in source number 2, from four lines up from the end of the first paragraph, V'tziva HaKasuv, There's going to be a greater kepeda at the time of Chalukas Haaretz that the Shvatim should not mix one with another. What the Ramban is trying to say here is that the important thing is that Eretz Yisrael at its very outset should be set up in an ideal manner. It's almost like there's a certain chazaka de meikara that we have of how Eretz Yisrael looked, and then afterwards, even if that in practice it doesn't say exactly that way, since of course this or hasava is only for now, not for later, and it could end up being that the nachal of one shevet is transferred to another. But at least the Eretz Yisrael started out with that force. And that force is going to be carried through the entire history of you know, Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, because it started off from that point. That's exactly what the Yad Ramah points out also. If you turn to source number 6 on the second page, so he says, Shema mina shegzer zo shenigzera shelo yavo shvatim zeh bezeh lo nigzer elo lo uso hador. Why? Matam? So the idea here is that, at least at the very beginning, to create that initial force, you know, that's just my language, so each Shevet should get its Havtacha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that, you know, part of the Havtacha of Eretz Yisrael was not only that Klal Yisrael as a nation would get the land, but also that a Shevet would get a specific portion. So that needs to happen in order for the Havtacha to be carried out. And I think that we can add to this just one little nekuda before we go on here. There's an interesting line in Rabbeinu Bechaya. I don't have it here on the source sheet, and it is, you know, a little bit al derech, you know, divrei Kabbalah. But he points out that once all of the Shvatim are in Eretz Yisrael, so then you have what he calls the Klal HaKochos. You have the I think what we like to call the corporate Klal Yisrael, right? Eretz Yisrael is set up in its corporate entity in the ideal manner. Once that's the case, so then as individuals or individual shvatim and individual mishpachos functioning within that klal, there you have more flexibility for an nachla to go from shevet to shevet. But at least to create the klal akochos, right? To create the corporate entity of Klal Yisrael at the very beginning, that you need to have everybody in its right place. So this idea that Eretz Yisrael was supposed to be structured in an ideal format, and that there's a real kiyum of every shevet getting its specific nachla, so it's undeniable, and it's very much corroborated by other mekoros as well. Just very, very quickly, you have the machlokas in the Gemara Kuf Chof Aleph Amid Beis, where whether Eretz Yisrael was nischalik l'shvatim iflug, or, you know, api karkafta de gadre. And eventually, in the maskonas asugyas, we pass in the shvatim iflug. And even within that, you have a machlokas rishonim, and what exactly does that mean? So the Ramban and the Ravid, they're both of the opinion, I'm sorry, the Ramban and the Rashbam are both of the opinion that l'shvatim iflug means that every Shevet got exactly the same size of Nachala, despite the fact that you have some Shvatim that were Meruba Buchusin, were more populous than others, which is kind of counterintuitive from a monetary perspective or a fairness perspective, because it's going to end up being that one person in his family gets a smaller share of Eretz Yisrael than another. But what you see for the Ramban is, again, that this creating this corporate entity with the 12 Shvatim getting exactly their proper Nachla, that's what we care about at the time of Chalukah. And even according to Rashi and the Ravid, who's quoted in the Shita Mekubetzes, you can take a look another time if you'd like. So even according to them, that every individual family got the same size, but still the way that it was carried out, and I saw Rebbe made this point also in the Kol Tzvi. So the way that it was carried out was through Dafka Alpi the Shvatim, which is like, why? Once you're already giving the Nachala to individuals, so what do the Shvatim have anything to do with it? And the Ravid Dafka points out that the Goral was used only for the Shvatim, but not for the Mishpachos. So again, I think even from that perspective, they're still agreeing to the same Yisod, that there's an idea here that Eretz Yisrael has to be split up and structured, divided amongst the Shvatim in this ideal manner to again, carry out that Havtacha that the Yad Ramah was talking about. So from this perspective, if we have to think about what really is the problem, what's the mechayiv of the Isser of Hasavas Nachla, so you could have thought, again, like the Risha of the Ramban when I was reading it, that the problem of Hasavas Nachla is that one Shevet's going to get more land than another. That's not fair. But if Hasavas Nachla is really wrapped up so much with how we structure Eretz Yisrael, so then what seems to emerge is that the Mechayiv of the Isser is not so much the practical point that one Shevet's going to have more than another, but rather that this ideal structuring of Eretz Yisrael is going to be neutralized. And that itself is the problem. Okay, so far we've proved pretty well, I think, that there's this very intrinsic connection between Eretz Yisrael and Hasavas Nachla. And what's interesting is that, and this is what I want to talk about for the most part today, despite the fact that we have explicit mekoros that the Isser of Hasavas Nachla was limited to the door of Bayi Haaretz, there's also a lot of evidence that the concept of Hasavas Nachla remains relevant even beyond the Shas Chalukas Haaretz and the door of Ba'i Haaretz. And I want to try to prove that the concept of Hasavas Nachla finds its way, kind of weaves its way, into many, many dinim of Yerusha that are relevant lidoros. So I'm going to start, before getting even into the nitty-gritty of the halacha, just from some implications that we have like in Torah Shebichsav. So take a look, for example, source number 10. You have the story of Yiftach in Sefer Shoftim. And Yiftach was called Vehu ben Isha Zona. So why was he called a ben Isha Zona? So the Targum Yonasan and many of the other Mefarshim, they all point out, take a look at Rabbeinu Bechai in source number 11. They say that it's because his mother married into a different sheikh. And that made her into an Isha Zona. So what do you see? Yiftach was obviously after the door of Ba'i Haaretz. But despite that fact, his mother having married into a different Shevet then gave her a status, right, of almost like an Isha Zona, as if it's unseemly that she married outside of her Shevet, despite the fact that the Isser is no longer on the books. Very, very interestingly, just as a little bit of an aside, in source number 12, Yuchum Pishul Perla has an amazing formulation here, where he says that the fact that she married outside of her Shevet is almost like a pagan in her Ishas. It's almost like her relationship with her Baal is nifkam. Mikol makom mishum she'im bai lovanah yorshim osa. Since this is according to his mahalach, that her husband and her sons are actually not going to be yorish. I'll get back to that in a second. Sorry if that's confusing, but he points out that she's she'ina ke'ishto gemura. Since she married outside of the Shevet, and that's going to have consequences that I'll get back to you. So that I'll get back to, it's almost as if she's not Ishto Gemura. So that's an amazing amazing demonstration of the relevance of Hasavas Nachla even beyond the door of Ba'i Ha'aretz. And in addition to that, probably more simply, maybe we should have even started here. What about the fact? Yeah.
So this seems like some Jewish Zabal. We're going back to Shimmy's Kabbalah. If you're going to say the Jewish Zabal is a Skos Ba'alma, especially holds in the Rabban.
And you're not going to get started.
It doesn't really make sense.
So we're going to talk about that.
The Ishos would be undermined.
Right.
You say she'er basar, then obviously it's more significant. There is something wrong with this ishus, which is why it's not manifesting the Yerusha.
Yeah. And I think even not going to the ishus perspective, even just from whether there's a problem of hasavas nachala with a baal, so we have to discuss the sugya of sivas habal and sivas haben. So we'll get back to that. But for sure, if you view Yerusha habal as something unique, right, and not functioning like the rest of Parshas Yerusha, so then you're going to be able to make chilukim between Baal and other Purim. So again, I think a more simple demonstration of this yisod is just Yerushas Habas. The fact that the Torah uses a different lashon for Yerushas Habas, va'avartem esnach laso levito. So Rashi points out there, Rashi ala Torah, it's based on earlier Makoros. Why is it va'avartem esnach laso levito? Because Habas is masev esnachla. If she marries into a different shevet. The Yerushalmi goes even further. This is in source number 13. And the Yerushalmi points out, Tani Rabbi Shmuel, Shino hakasuv nachla zos miko nachlo shebetorah, shebekulam kasuv unesatem, vikam kasuv v'ha'avartem, ibur hadinhu shetehe habas yoreshes. It's almost, it's counter, you know, it's outside of the legal system that a bas should be yoreshes. And maybe that explains, you know, a little bit of why a bas comes after a ben, and why they don't split with each other. Especially if you view both bas and if you view both ben and bas as being like kam tachtav. So why is ben more kam tachtav than bas? So I mean, you could discuss that in a Yerushas HaBen sugya, but take a look at the Bach in source number 15. So he makes his very point. So the Od Yashloma is commenting on what the Torah writes. Rabbeinu bala hotzi mechachmei hagoyim. So the Yerushalmi quotes the chachmei haumos, who say that in fact Ben and Bas do split the Yerusha. So he says the Torah was coming to be motzi from that position when he says that the reason why a Ben is yoresh before a Bas is because we're not mavir from the Ben to the Bas. So, balahutzi michach miagoyim de omer benu bas shavim kaachas de inun darshe they darshin ubein ein lo haim yashlo shnein shavim kedis of Yerushalmi. V'darshe sham Rabbi Yishmael shina kasuv shabechulin k'sev nusatim mekayim kasuv ba'avartem ibur adin hu shtei abas horeshes. Look at this line. Da hashta de gadilan kra de ibur hadin hu shetehe yoreshes sham inon de eno yoreshes klal b'makom ben. The fact that the Yerushas Habas is like outside of the legal system is itself what makes Bas secondary to Ben. That's what the Bach is explaining. And the whole idea of why Bas is Ibor Hadin is precisely because she's Masev Es Nachala. Because we cannot ensure that the Nachla is going to stay within the same heritage, within the same Sheva. So again, whether you have Isha Zona of Yiftach, or just Yerushas Habas in general on the Ibor Hadin of the Yerushalmi, we clearly see that, and Yerushas Habas is obviously not limited to Dor Ba'aretz, so we clearly see that even in the Dinim of Yerusha that are the Doros, so the idea of Hasavas Nachla is really, is undergirds these Dinim. You have Tosos and a great Tosos, like a two-liner on Kuf Yod Amud Beis, where Tosos comments the top one, V'dilma ha'kamashwa and debas nami Yerusha, debas nami bas Yerusha. So the Gemara considers that maybe a bas wouldn't even be including a Yerusha at all. So why would bas not be including Yerusha? So says Tosos, the sakadai techamina, the lav bas Yerusha hi, mishum debasev es nachla. So again, just the whole way that we characterize, we perceive Yerushas Habas, it's totally colored by the whole parsha of Hasavas Nachla, which clearly goes beyond just the door of Ba'ei Ha'aretz. So what about some actual like nafkamina lahalacha of how Hasavas Nachla appears even Lidorus? So Bava Basar Kuf Nun Tes Amid Beis. I don't know if anybody's gone there yet, but eventually. So we have the din that when a ben is yoresh esimo, so in a ben yoresh esimo bekever lahanchil laachin min ha'av. So why is that? So this is a couple lines down into the wide lines, like I don't know, 8 lines or so. V'taima mai. So amar abaye nem rasiba b'ben v'nem rasiba b'bal. Masibo ha'amura v'baal in a baal yorish esishlo b'kever
Af Sibo Habura Beben Ein Haben Yorish Asimo Bekever Lahanchil Laachim Min Ha'af. So you see that Abaye uses Hasavas Nachla, the parallelism between Baal and Ben, and Hasavas Nachla as a way to conclude a din that's going to exist Lidoros, namely that a Ben is not Manchil Laachav Min Ha'af Bekever. And many of the Rishonim explicitly, you know, they say even more explicitly that this is because that's going to cause Hasavas Nachla. So that's precisely the reason why we don't why a Ben is not Yorish Asimo Bekever La'anchila Achim Min Ha'af. You also have, so here we're going to have a little bit of a longer discussion, so stick with me. So, an kuf nun ches amid beis, very, very important Gemara. So, in this, the sugyas at the end of Perek Nisha Meis, they have all the Mishnayos about the dinim of Sveikos in Yerusha. So, an kuf nun ches amid beis, the Mishnah there says, Nachal abayis olav yal imo, so elu ve'elu modin sheyachloku, but Rabbi Akiva disagrees, he says, moda ani bezo shahanechasim bechez kasam. The Nechasim are Bechez Kasam. We paskin like Rabbi Akiva there. And the Gemara, at least the Rambam does, and the Gemara wants to try to figure out what does it mean, Hanechasim Bechez Kasam. So the Gemara has two different deos, Bechez Kasmi, Rab Ila Omar Bechez Kas Yorshe Ha'im, Rab Zera Omar Bechez Kas Yorshe Ha'ben. But then, according to our Girsa in the Gemara, Rab Zera retracts his opinion. Everybody agrees that it's Bechez Kas Yorshe Ha'im. And why is that? The time of Mai, Amar Abaye, again Abaye, interesting. So what happens here? Let's say that, make sure we're all on the same page. So you have a son and his mother, and they both die simultaneously. So we're not sure who should be Yoresh. Should we give it to the Yorshe Ha'im or to the Yorshe Aben? Because it's going to depend on who really, really died first. So you have a Safik. So the way that we paskin is that you give it to the Yorshe Ha'im. And the reason why, says Abaye, is because Ho'el v'huchzika nachala ba'uso shevet. So the nachala started out in the mother shevet, let's call that Reuven, and then it's going to go down to the Ben. We're assuming here that, let's assume here that there's a mixed shevet marriage, so she married someone from Shimon, so the Ben is from Shimon. So if you give it to the Yorshe Ha'ben, it's going to go from Reuven to Shimon, and there'll be hasavas nachala. So in order to prevent that, you say, you keep it in the shevet of the mother, in the shevet of Reuven. So what's the nature of this chazak? So there is a line in the Shur HaRosh. Take a look at source number 16. And Rabbi Hanan in the Kovi Ta'aros says this even more explicitly, but I think this is what the Rosh is getting at also. So the Rosh points out, Abaye balitin ta'am, denira divrei hamefarish bechez katsor sheha'in, the lishna the bechez kasan, the ka'amar of Yakiva, mashma diyesh lahamid hanechasim, ba'usa chazaka shahayu ba ad hayom hazeh, dahainu shevet ha'in. Sounds to me from the Rosh that this is a classic chez kas marakama. You have the nachla belong to a certain owner to begin with. So when it comes to a case of a safik, you don't have any proof in either direction, so you should apply the chezkas marakama. You should have the same owner retain ownership of that land. Take a look at Abul Hanan in source number 17. He says this explicitly. So he quotes from the Rosh in Kiddushin, Beis Ches. Gabe niskad shal edas avia v'nisei shlo midaito. At a case where a woman gets is miskadeshes midas the av, but then she has nisu and shalomi daito. And you have discussions of different nafkamina. What is she considered? Nises labal legabe truma, yerusha. So the Rosh says that if the av were not to come back and express his consent to the nisuin, and the baal died in this case, so the baal would not be yoresh hasishta. That's what the Rosh says. So why not? Even though you have a rov in favor of the baal. What's the rov? That most fathers would be okay if their daughter went ahead and got married after they gave them explicit permission to get engaged. So you have a rov in favor of the baal. But nonetheless, says the Rosh, the baal is not going to be yorish. Why not? Mivur deruba lo mahani li'ini derusha lahutzi michez kas ha-shevet. A rov, says Rabbi Hanan, is not going to be the chazak of the shevet. Mishun de'in holchim b'mamon achar harov. So Rabbi Hanan is taking a completely monetary perspective, dini mamonos choshen mishpat perspective on this question, saying, look, the chazaka is a cheskas marakama. You have a rov on the other side. I think that cheskas marakama beats the rov, and I'll bring you a raya from the rush, because the chazaka of the shevet is just another instantiation of cheskas marakama. So you see that the chazaka of the shevet of beats the baal. So therefore, you see that cheskas marakama always beats rov. Am I clear? Okay. So all that I'm trying to prove from Rabbi Hanan is that he characterizes the chazaka of hol v'chuzaka shevet, but also hol v'chuzaka also nachla, but also shevet, as a classical cheskas marakama, all having to do with the dinim of choshen mishpat. I think it's possible, though, that this chazaka of hol v'chuzaka nachla, but also shevet, is not really a classical chazaka from a choshen mishpat point of view. Perhaps the idea here is that there, because of the attraction between a nachala and the shevet owner of the nachala, so that itself creates a chazaka between the nachala and the shevet. The nachala is supposed to belong to that shevet. That's our presumption, because that's the way things are supposed to be. And how do I know that? Well, Hasavas Nachala proves to me that a Shevet is supposed to retain its ownership of its Nachala, and therefore that itself creates a Chazaka that binds the Nachala to the Shevet. So Rav Yisrael Zalman Meltzer in Evan Ozel says exactly this, and he uses it in order to explain an interesting Rambam. So I'll try to go through this a little bit more quickly, but the Rambam in source number 18 in Nachlos Perakeh, he has two psakim that the Rishonim themselves are bothered by. So on the one hand, he paskins this gemara on Kufnun Chesem Ebeis, that when you have a son and a daughter who die simultaneously, we say that the nachala is huchzaka in the eitzel the yorshei ha'im because of hol huchzaka nachala but also shevet. However, when you have a grandson and his grandfather, and the relationship is through the mother, right? So you have grandfather, mother, grandson. The grandson and the grandfather die simultaneously. What's the din? So you might have thought, well, this is also going to cause hasavas nachala, because it's going through the mother, right? And the mother is going to change the shevet. But says the Rambam that no, in this case we pass in yachlok. So you would have thought to say, ho v'huchzaka nachala v'oso shevet. Why don't you say that the yorshim of the grandfather are the ones who are going to get it because of that principle? But instead, the Rambam paskins yachluku. That's what he paskins in Nachlos Hey Vav. Hey Zayin. Nafal abayis alav yaben bito. So he says, then we say yachluku. And the Magen Mishnah, quoting the Rashba, they're very bothered by this. They say, I don't understand. You have a son and his mother, and in that case, you go to the Yorshei Ha'im, and the son is a direct yoresh of the mother. But nonetheless, hold the hooks of Kanakla, Boso Shevet, you go to the Yorshei Ha'im. So when it comes to this grandson and the grandfather, all of a sudden, the grandson has a greater pull on the Nachla that we're going to say Yachloku instead of giving the Nachla to the Yorshim of the grandfather? I don't understand. It seems like a stira in the Rambam. So Rav Yisrael Zalman Meltzer develops this yishuv to the Rambam based on this yesod that I was saying before, that maybe we can recharacterize what hol v'chuzaka nachla b'oso shevet really means. So let's start off in 20. V'lachin tzover ha-Rambam, says Rav Yisrael Zalman, dikr time of the huchzaka nachla b'chezkas oso ha-shevet, haynu b'geder ha-savas nachla, de'af didin ha-savas nachla lo haya el l'bayi ha-aretz, kevin de'matzinu de'ika geder ha-savas nachla gam ata, midin ein haben yoresh asimo bekever lahanchila echov vina'av, the din of Abaye on Kufnun Tesem Ebeis that we quoted first before we got into this whole discussion, since you see that Asavas Nachala is relevant even Ledina Lidoros, so then we can say that so too this Chazaka is based on that idea of Hasavas Nachala. V'loman Abaye zeh shom bedav Kufnun Tes migever Asavas Nachala, lachin kishenase lanu safik bedin, im api eza safik anu tzrichin lahotzi nichsei ha'im liyarshei ha'av al yedei yushas b'na sheyirsha lahorish le'echov b'na'av, im ha'inyan safik hu, Nomar Huchzaka Nachala Bechezkas Oso Hashiv. So Rav Zalman is saying this exact idea. Hol Huchzaka Nachala Oso Hashivet is really rooted in the concept of Hasavas Nachala and the idea that we want a Nachala to stay within the same Shiva. And then he uses that idea in order to reconcile the Rambam. And he has this is a little bit of a chiddush, but it's I think it's compelling. So he's in 21, Ulafiza Yashlomar. Dechivan de ikr din de huchzaka nachala pechezkas oso hashevet, hayesul deze, whom imada chazin on de kapit krab asavas nachala. So we just said the foundation for this chazaka is asavas nachala. Dechivan de ikr krab asavas nachala, nemar benachalas ha'aim, kidichseva chobas yodashas nachala, vilachin gam bedin huchzaka nachala oso hashevet, lo amrinon keen ela biyodashas ha'aim, vilo biyodashas ha'af. Says Rav Zalman, you know what the chiluk is for the Rambam between those two cases? In one case, you have a son and his mother. So in that case, you're being yoresh, he's being yoresh directly from the aim. The aim is the mother is being masevas nachla. In the other case, you have a grandson and a grandfather. So the morish is coming from what? From nichsei ha'av, not nichsei ha'im. Says Rav Zalman, the whole idea of Hasavas Nachala is only Shayach, it's only applicable to Nachlas Ho'im. That's the idea. The Isser stands on the woman. So we're only going to, and since the Chazaka is rooted in Hasavas Nachala, we're only going to apply that Chazaka when the Morish is the woman, not when the Morish is the man. And that's how to explain the Stira, the apparent Stira in the Rambam. The reason why we say Yachloku in the case of the grandson and the grandfather is because you can't apply the Chazaka. Because the Chazaka is rooted in Hasavas Nachala. This is not a case of Hasavas Nachala because it comes from a man, comes from the grandfather. Whereas in the other case of a son and a mother, we are going to apply that Chazaka because that's a classical case of Hasavas Nachala where it comes from the mother and goes down to the son. Yeah, no.
Even that, this is just the show Russian,
yeah.
How many cases is an issue of moving money?
Well, I mean, the other shevet is just not a marakama, right? Meaning you're saying
mecha
tesi that there's a chalos of a shevet
or
after
by ha'aretz. Unless there's something
not I guess that's a good point. They are assuming that there's still a chalos of nachlas hashevet. That's true. We clearly see that from Abaye, right? So right? Everybody has to agree to that.
I mean, there could be some. The fact that the shevet has
tefis
on that
moment
at all,
or Amosa. So, you're just pointing out that from the fact that we see that a shevet has ownership of nachla, even post the door of Baya Aretz, that shows you that this yesod of nachlas hashevet is still applicable even with those.
And moving it would be cheap.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But it doesn't necessarily mean that there's a din of hasavas nachla, even as a principle, even as a lesser, like a more moderate form.
Would moving it be changing that machzakas be a problem?
I'm saying that would be a next possible step. But I think you're making a really good argument about at minimum what it implies. I mean, that there's like a dual, the person owns it, and through the person, or always, even before the person, the shevet owns it at some level. That still doesn't mean that there's an ikaron, a principle of not taking it out. It just means that levakum safek, there's that kind of. But I guess it isn't. Once you're saying that, then it's more compelling to think that also could then be a factor. But what he's saying in Rav Zalman is really seeing it as a hasaba itself.
So yeah, more direct.
Yeah. Okay. So again, the reason why I'm quoting this all right now is because I'm trying to prove this idea that hasabas nachla is going to impact even on dinim ledorus. We have a couple of other mekoros, just very quickly. In source number 22, there's a fascinating Tosefta in Bechoros. Rabbi Yochanan ben Shapurla quotes this, where the Tosefta says, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka Omer, Hayorish es ishto, b'nei mishpacha nosn lo ma'os, umotziin miyada, shenemar lo sisov na'ach la mimate lamate ache. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka in this Tosefta is saying that if you have a case of Yerusha Sabal, so the mother's family can force the Baal to give back the nachla. And why? Based on this pasuk, Losisov Nachala. What happened to, it's only limited to the door of Baya Aretz. So apparently what all of this is saying is that the Isser of Hasavas Nachla is limited to the door of Vayaharetz. The Isser of marrying into a different Sheva, that's limited to the door of Vayaharetz. But the idea that we want Nachla to stay within the same Sheva, just as an individual has an estate and creates a heritage with his Stei Achuza, so too the Shvatim. So too the Shvatim. And finally, probably the most extreme demonstration of this is the way Rabbi Yochanan Fishel Perla explains the novel position of the Bahag and of Sajigon. So all of the Monei HaMitzvos don't count Hasavas Nachla, but the Bahag and of Sajigon both count a Parsha of Hasavas Nachla. And Rabbi Yochanan Fishel Perla is very bad. Why would Rabbi Sajigon count a Parsha of Hasavas Nachla? After all, he knows the Gemara. The Gemara says it's limited to the door of Bayaharetz. And Rabbi Yochanan Fishel Perla there has an amazing chiddush. And he says that you have to interpret of Sajigon Shita based on the Ramban al HaTorah. Not only the Ramban al HaTorah, but the Ramban al HaTorah's al derech hapshat. So let's see that Ramban al HaTorah, and then we'll explain the Shita of Sajigon. So if you turn back to source number 2, sorry to take you on a roller coaster here. So in the second paragraph, the Ramban says like this: V'nachonu al derech hapshat she'ein v'lo sisov nachala ta'am. When the Torah says "v'lo sisov nachla mimate amate acher," it doesn't. It's not trying to say so that, right? So that the nachla doesn't change. Aval hin shtei mitzvos tziva b'yorshos nachla. Al derech hapshat says the Ramban, there are actually two mitzvos of hasavas nachla. Number one, shelo sinosena rak lemate avihen. There's a restriction on marriage, that the women of one Shevet must marry within their Shevet. And then in addition to that, v'tziva b'nisuos kvar, let's say you have some couples who are inter-Shevet marriage. V'asher tavo alei ha-nachla achareha yosan le'ish, shelo si sov ha-nachla mimata lamata yacher, aval girshu osan acheyen ukroveyen lo b'neyen v'lo ba'aleyen. Says the Ramban that at least for the door of Bayi Ha'aretz, there's a second din that the Torah here is presenting. And that's that if you have a reality in which you have a mixed marriage, you have Reuven and Shimon, and it turns out that there's a case of Hasavas Nachla, so the mother dies, and then it's going either to the father or to the son, says the Ramban, the Torah tells you, circumvent the dinim of Yerusha. Don't follow the regular Seder HaYerusha, rather stay within Mishpach HaSa'im, and only within Mishpach HaSa'im should you apply the regular Seder HaYerusha. That's the Ramban's al derech hapshat. There are two different aspects, even two different mitzvos, to Hasavas Nachla. One, marriage, and two, what do you actually do with the Nachla b'shas ha'asava? Says Rav Yochanan Fishel Perla, this is exactly what Rav Sajigon has in mind. It's a big chiddush, but this is what he says. That even though the iser to marry into a different shevet exists only for the door of Bayi Ha'aretz, the din that we're not going to allow the nachla of one shevet to transfer to another shevet, that's true la'ad ul'ol me'olam. So that's a very big chiddush, and that clearly shows that clearly demonstrates that hasavas nachla is relevant, l'doros. But yeah, there's a lot of kashas you can ask.
No,
that.
Not
yeah.
Kasha, just
I'll
point it out.
Sure. Go for it.
The Gemara in Erechim says that for Yovel, so you need Kol Yoshvel, and then the Gemara says you also need the Shlokim Kedikuna.
Yeah.
And not Murvavim. I don't know if it's a function of Hasavas Nachla, but it's another, it's the Akiyum of the Shvatim all being the Chelkam and the Nachalasam and not Murvavim. In a
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it gets at the same idea, the same core idea. Yeah. I'm quoting a Rav Yochanan Fishel Perla here not only for this reason. I want to take this a little bit further, and this is going to lead us into the rest of the Chabura. So, and I was talking with Asher about this. So he pointed out this question. He said once Rav Yochanan Fishel Perla actually addresses it himself. So I don't understand. Once the Torah tells me that the Nachala is not going to change Shvat because we're disallowing that. Right? So then why prevent people from marrying whoever they want? Right? Let a woman marry whoever she wants. And if it ends up being that the Nachla is set to change hands, so we'll step in and we'll make sure that the nachla only stays within the mishpachas hanim. So it's like redundant. Why have this iser on nisuin? So Rav Yerucham Teshuah Perla says that it's like a gzeira. Says, you know, we have to make sure that people don't marry into other shvatim, because if it so happens that they do, and then a case of hasava arises, what's going to happen if the bezdin or the community, you know, they don't step up to the plate, and all of a sudden, you know, the other shevet starts to yarshin the nachla. So it's like a gzeira. So comes the Torah and says, you know, just don't even get involved with it to begin with. So I thought that was a little bit circumspect. So I thought that maybe you could say something else. I think the idea here is that what the Torah is saying by introducing this additional iser to let's say within the Ramban first, right? Again, assuming that there's that once the nachla is set to change hands, we're going to step in and not allow it to happen, right? So why should we not allow a woman to get married to whoever she wants? Because we don't want to circumvent the Dinei HaYerusha. Right? The Torah has a whole parsha in Pinchas about how Yerusha is supposed to happen. Yerusha Sabal, Yerusha Saban, v'chule v'chule. So don't create a situation in which we have to wiggle our way out of the regular Seder HaYerusha. We want the Seder HaYerusha to take place. So therefore, we create a prohibition to get married to another Shevet, since that could lead to us having to bend over backwards to circumvent the Dinei HaYerusha. Once you say that,
it may be more than that. It may just be that the whole yisod of creating like a purity of Shvatim and continuity in Shvatim, which is reflected in Nachas Eretz Yisrael, on a fainter level, not something that you can ever completely control, but maybe there's an anekium even in marriage and families itself to stay in the Shvatim.
Yeah,
that's like you can't, you know, aser that forever. But the Yerusha aspect of it kind of brings out even that more fundamental. So it's not you're saying now, oh, you'll be in a situation then you'll have to circumvent or undercut, you know, another preference in Hilchos Yerusha.
Right.
I'm saying something a little.
Oh, so you're saying from the Dinei Mishpacha that right. You want it to.
Going back to what I said in the beginning of the thing, which is obviously fits in very well with this whole thing, which is that Yerusha itself is an extension of family structure and legacy. Yeah. So one of the things I always thought is that these echoes have a lot to do with that question. Mm-hmm. Just that it's not, you know, the Chazal couldn't, the Chavim just couldn't, you know, attack it. Mm-hmm. The fallout would have just been, you know, it's in a tzibur yichol lamod bo, or it comes at a too big a price and other things. So it continues to express itself in Yerusha, which anyways is an expression of, you know, a certain ideal family, but that's why L'chatchila, at least in that door, it was, because that was like the most acute and ambitious, you know, kind of expression of keeping, you know, the family, keeping the Shevet structure together.
Yeah, so I forgot to mention this also at the beginning, but in the Psukim in Maaseh, there's, in addition to the Shevet, it also talks about the Mishpacha. And yeah. Some of the Mefarshim even say, like there's machlokas in the Mefarshim. Like no, there's no such thing as hasavas nachla in a mishpacha.
Right.
But some of the
Mefarshim. So again, I don't think you right. If you don't have it, I'm not bothered by it.
Right.
But correct. But the echoes of it like could reinforce this idea.
Yeah. I actually saw there's an I was also talking with Hasher about this. He was very bothered by why Benos Slavkad had they could marry whoever they wanted. So why did they specifically marry within their mishpacha? Right. So the Netziv says they mistakenly thought. This is, I thought it was great. They mistakenly thought that the nachla has to stay within the mishpacha, which is like, it's like their perspective.
Right. So maybe like, wrong, but it's not wrong. It's not too wrong.
Right. Right. Yeah. It's the extreme of their original perspective.
Right.
Which
okay. Yeah. We hadn't discussed it. But family violence. Yes. I'm saying that would be what. The echo, and then, like, you know, it's also so I'm saying that would be like a giant leap even beyond, you know, what you're for this.
Yeah, right. And so, yeah, I wanted to go into even more of a fundamental perspective on the next point. But yeah, I think for sure, like you don't have to limit it, that's what I'd be saying, you don't have to limit it just that we don't want to circumvent the Dinei Yerusha, or that it's just the Yerusha question.
Yeah.
Why can't it be along the lines of what Rashi's saying? I mean, this is what we're going to be talking about next. But in being Mavir Nachla is an expression of what Rashi said. Why can't it be what Shu was saying exactly? Meaning circumventing the Bas in order to try to maintain, ironically, the Kishra and Mishpacha of the Shevet undermines the Bas,
yeah, that too.
The Kurva of the Mishpacha, which
I'm just saying it's not a separate thing.
The other, correct. Internally.
Yeah, and I think that works too. Right. I'm just saying it's not, there's no such din at all on the marriage level except for the first door, and for this purpose, you know, but all this other stuff, I prefer to say all this other expressions, you know, also reinforce something which long-term legislation-wise you can't, dentora-wise you maybe can't do, but which, you know, is really at the root of the whole thing. But I think that's a good point too, which you're saying.
Okay, so so now just to, I want to be, you know, the last point in this discussion, and then we'll go on. So so what's this whole idea of hasavas nachla b'dodos? Like, I don't understand, especially if you think of hasavas nachla in a practical way. So what? So we're concerned that every shevet has the same portion forever? That doesn't really seem like something we're concerned about. So what if we see that hasavas nachla plays into all of these dinim b'dodos? For example, abaye kufnun chesam ebeis yu lahan chila echod minoav. The Rav Sadragon, you know, that we prevent the Hasavas Nachla, even the Doros. So what is the Mechaiv that underlies that? So I thought that perhaps Hasavas Nachla is not just a pragmatic Isser. This is like the main Chakira that I want to build on. Not just a pragmatic Isser to lessen the Nachla of one Shevet at the benefit of another Shevet. But rather, it's a more formal iser, and what that is, you could describe in one of three ways, I think. And this is in two of them we've mentioned so far, and the third I'll develop right now. So the first is for the door of Bayi Ha'aretz, the iser of Hasavas Nachla was to undermine the ideal structuring of Eretz Yisrael. So that goes way beyond just how much of an Nachla each shevet has. Number two, within the Ramban and the Al Derech HaPshat and in Rav Yochanan Fishel Perla, in the way that I was explaining it before. So another mechayev of Hasavas Nachla, and you could add Rebbe's point to this also, is to undermine the Dinei HaYerusha, the Seder HaYerusha, because by setting up Hasavas Nachla, you're going to end up having to prevent the way that you normally have Seder HaYerusha. And if you add Rebbe's point, so part of the mechayev is also just, you know, messing with the ideal family structure. But I think that even if you reject, and this is really what I really want to emphasize, because this is what I'm going with for the rest of the Chabura. Even if you reject the Ramban al Derech HaPshat, and you say, yeah, that's Pshuto Shel Mikra, but that's not the way, you know, we think about the Halacha after that. And even if you reject the Chiddush of Rav Yochanan Fishel Perla, and you say that when Hasavas Nachla takes place Ledoros, the Yerusha goes through. The Nachla changes from Shevet to Shevet. Even so, the Mechayiv that underlies Hasavas Nachla could be that it's undermining of what I would call the Hashkafas HaYerusha. Meaning to say that we've proved all along here that it's not just that we want a Nachla to stay within an individual's portion, his stay achuzma, but we also want a Nachla to remain within a Shevet. There's a heritage to the Shevet. And when a woman marries into a different Shevet and thereby sets up a foundation for Hasavas Nachla to take place, that itself contravenes Hashkafas HaYerusha. Because what she's doing is creating a situation in which that heritage will be undermined. She's creating the foundation for the Nachla not to stay within the Shevet. And I think you can even add one more point. This I didn't see anywhere, so I'm just, this is like out of speculation. But it's fascinating that from this perspective, by marrying out of the Shevet, the woman uses the system of Yerusha itself in order to undercut Yerusha, right? I'm marrying into another Shevet. That's going to set up a structure in which the Yerusha will be to the other Shevet, to the Baal or to the Ben. So I'm doing something that itself is using Yerusha to do the antithesis of Yerusha, right? The Yerusha is supposed to keep the heritage in line, right? It's supposed to sustain it.
and protect it. I'm using Yerusha to do the exact opposite. That's the mechayev of Hasavas Nachla. Even if you don't go with the Ramban's idea that, you know, the Nachla is not going to change hands. Let's say it does change hands. But nonetheless, the mechayev might not be just a pragmatic iser for one Sheva to have more Nachla than another, but rather this more formal iser of undermining the whole system, Parsha and Hashkafa of Yerusha. If that's the case, so then we can relate to some really great Nachkamim. And we'll go, you know, through a number of sugyas. Very quickly for now. So Rav Yerucham Tesha Perla, in his piece, brings up two really interesting Makoros. Says, first of all, the Mishnah in Erchin, Chav Chesam and Aleph, says that you could be machrim your stay achuza. What happens when there's a cherem? So if you're machrim your stay achuza, it's going to go to the Kohanim, and it's going to stay there forever. So Rav Yerucham Tesha Perla is bothered. I don't understand. Hasavas Nachla teaches me that we can't just allow Nachla to go from Sheva to Sheva. So how could someone be Macharim his Teyachuza and allow it and just rid his Sheva of that Nachla? And in addition to that, you have the Shita of Rabbi Meir in Bechoros, Nun Beis, that the idea of Choseres B'Yovel applies to Mechira, but not to Matana. Says Rabbi Meir, Matana in a Choseres B'Yovel. So Ruchim Mishperla asks, how could somebody give his Nachla as a gift to somebody else? After all, that's going to cause that Nachla not to return to his original Shevet. And you see from Hasavas Nachla that you can't do such a thing. So he says that the reason why is because the Torah doesn't legislate how you use your money during your lifetime. So for Yerusha, so you're already, you don't have control over your property anymore. There, when the Torah is in charge of what's happening to your property, it's going to say you can't leave the Shevet. But while you're still alive, the Torah doesn't legislate what you can do with your property. But I think you could say, more sharply maybe, that the whole idea of Hasavas Nachla, the Mechayev of Hasavas Nachla, is a din in Dine Yerusha. The whole idea is to not contravene the Hashkafa of Yerusha. So if you're operating external to the Parsha of Yerusha, externally to the Parsha of Yerusha, you're operating with Matana or with Charonim, well, then that's not going to pose a problem of Hasavas Nachla. Because the whole idea of Hasavas Nachla is not just that you're lessening the Nachla of a Shevet, or the portion of the Shevet, but it's specifically that you're almost like attacking the system of your Yerusha. Therefore, you're not going to apply this.
But then, who are you from the back here about those things?
Because that's
no, I'm saying who I did.
Yeah.
Meaning you're allowed to, there's no visa to give away big chunks of your estate when you're alive.
Yes, right. So you're saying like where does the question even start? If like you can do a matana mechayim, so
right. So what's the big deal?
What's the problem?
Right.
So he seems to be bothered more about like he's assuming like that Ramban al Derech HaPshat that like that we're not going to allow the Sheikh the Nachla to move
right as Nachla.
Yeah. Right. So
right. I think that's the same thing. In other words, you hold the back here. So if you're basically the equation of the Bechor with everybody else. Is unacceptable from a family structure, symbolic standpoint. But that has zero impact on how you actually distribute your money as money. There's a difference between money as money and money as a reflection of your legacy or of the national legacy or the shaped legacy.
Yeah.
Okay, the same.
Right. You can say, I mean, the question is even more simply answered when you raise those other colors.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So that's the whole very 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 lengthy hakdam. Okay. So let's discuss some of the pratim to the iser of Hasavas Nachla and how these pratim I think highlight and reflect these different perspectives on what the mechayev iser Hasavas Nachla is all about. So let's begin with the shas ha'iser of Hasavas Nachla. There's Rashbam Kufi Bezim and Aleph. I think everybody probably took note of this. So the Rashbam here in Dibra Masta V'chisema, it's on the first of the narrow lines, says V'chisema lava alav b'lava esek. So the Gemara there, Kukhe Bezman Aleph, is considering that, you know, maybe we have multiple sukkim in the Torah for Hasavas Nachla, not because we're trying to teach different types of Hasava, but rather just because there's one form of Hasava, namely Sivas HaBen, and that we warn against Sivas HaBen multiple times. So says the Rashbam, b'chisema lav or alav the lav essay. Maybe the Torah here introduces another lav, the tarvayu b'sivas haben. Umash shana hakasu lo niskavin el lahasros shalosinase l'shevet acher kedei lehischayiv malchus, that she should not get married to another shevet, such that she would be chayiv malchus. You see from the Rashbam that just by marrying into another shevet, a woman is chayiv malchus. And the Achronim, I put the Gidulei Shmuel here, I think others also, they take their Rashbam to task. They're very upset. How could you say that she's going to be chayiv malchus? After all, what should it be? Hasra Safik, right? Because how do you know if Hasava is going to take place? Maybe Hasava won't take place. Maybe she won't die before the Baal and the Ben. So how could you possibly say that she's going to be chayiv malchus? Rav Elchanan quotes from the Tosus HaRosh that maybe you could say it a little bit differently, that the Isser is mitlatali until the Hasava happens, and then you'll say lemafreya, that really she was over from the time of Nisuin. But that's not what the Rashbam is saying. The Rashbam is saying that right then, when she gets married into a different Shevet, she has violated the prohibition, and therefore she's chayiv malchus. What's a nekudas machlokas here? So I think that this is going to revolve around the very issue that we try to develop. According to the Achronim, who are bothered by Hasra Safik, so if you take a more pragmatic approach to Hasavas Nachla, and you say that it's all result-oriented, as long as one Shevet doesn't lose out at the benefit of another, then nothing wrong has happened. So then, of course, you can't say that the violation has happened until the Shas HaHasava. Because you need the actual Hasava in order to say that the Mechayiv has been trespassed. How could we then explain the Rashbam that when a woman marries into a different Shevet, even prior to the Hasava, even if the Hasava never happens, she's still going to be over on the Lav and the Chayiv Malchus? This is the exact idea. For the Rashbam, the Shas HaIsser of the Hasava is the Shas Nisuin. Because when a woman marries into a different Shevet, that itself is an affront to the Dinei HaYerusha. And especially if you say the way that Rebbe was saying before, that if you care about the Mishpacha, right, and making sure that even the legacy of the Mishpacha and its Shevet stays the same, so then the very marriage that creates the expectation of Hasava later on is an affront to the system of Yerusha. Yerusha is supposed to be that it keeps Nachla within the same Shevet. You just got married and set up a system where the expectation is that that's not going to happen. That itself is a problem. Doesn't matter whether it happens or not. That Maisa itself is the violation of Hasava. And that's why Yerchayev Malchus, even Lu Yitzuyur, the Hasava never takes place. Yeah.
She has brothers.
Oh, so, okay, so that's a great segment. So that's exactly where I want to go. So the Rashbam and Kufiyat Aleph and Aleph, right? The Rashbam says that. Okay, so you're trying to test me a little bit. Okay, so the Rashbam and Kufiyat Aleph and Aleph, so take a look at Divrei Maaseh, Basu Reshes Nachla Mimatos. So we know the Torah talks about a case where B'chol Basu Reshes Nachla Mimatos B'nei Yisrael. You have a case where a bas is going to inherit from a mixed shevet marriage. So the Rishonim, the Rashbam, are bothered by how was there such a marriage? I thought there was an iser of hasavas nachla and to marry into a different shevet. So take a look at the Rashbam. Dibur maslo bas yashas nachla mimatos. Mashma shabas achas mikabelas nachla mishnei matos. Vi'i ata motzei krovim lasha tekabla nachla mehem yoser me'aviha v'ima. Uchegon שאביה משיבת רובין, ואימא משיבת שמעון, וכשניסיס אימא לאביה, היו לה אחים לאימא של בזו, שהירשו נחלס אביהן, דלקה הסבס נחלס אין, לאב בשעס ניסוין, דלו קפיד קרא, אלא שבשעס ניסוין, לא סהי ראויה לירש נכסי אביה. So what Johnny was pointing out, in this Rashbam, is that, okay, so everything I said up until now, you could say that, but you have to qualify it a little bit, right? And that's why I use the word expectation. Because if what the Rashbam here is saying is that if the mother has brothers, such that she'll be second in line for Yerusha, and the brothers will be first in line, so then she would be allowed to marry into a different shevet. Why? I thought you just told me that, this whole mahalach, that's it's an affront to the system of Yerusha. So the idea is that there has to at least be a tziruf to the possibility of Hasava. right? If the brothers stand in line to be Yorish, so then we're not even, it's almost like, you know, we might use the language like there's no Leidus HaSafik, right? We're not toe-face the expectation of Hasada. And therefore, that marriage is not a problem. But when she when she's first in line to be Yorish, then she's creating the foundation for the Hasava to take place, which is itself the problem, even if the Hasava never takes place. So that's the idea. And this Rashbam is very important because it's used by some Achronim to explain Kasha Tosos and Kuf Yudalit Amud Beis. So Kuf Yudalit Amud Beis is the sugya of Ha'im Yoreshes as Binah, right? So Omar Rav Yochanan Mishon Rav Yehuda Ben Rav Shimon Dvar Torah Ha'av Yoresh as Binah V'isha Yoresh as Binah Shlemar Matos Makesh Mate Ya'im L'Mate Ya'av Ma Mate Ya'av Av Yoresh as Binah Af Mate Ya'im Isha Yoresh as Binah. Tosfos asks an interesting question here on the bottom. Af Mate Ya'im Hikshar Vi Im Kain Ayyadei Ish Nami Masev Es Nach Lami Mate Lamate Shem Yisa Mishevet Acher V'yamus V'yoshenu Binah V'achar Kach Yomus Habein V'tiroshenu Imo Shih Mishevet Acher. Once you have this shita of Rabbi Yehuda ben Rabbi Shimon, that the mother inherits the son just as the father inherits the son, so then you should have a problem of hasavas nachla, not only when the mother marries into a different shita, but also when the father marries into a different shita. So why are we like biased? So some of the Rishonim, take a look at the Shita Mekubetzes right here. This is in source number 26. So some of the Rishonim give like practical answers. So the Tosfos HaRosh, I think he quotes the Rivan, and he says, you know why we're more concerned about the Isha than about the Baal? Lo kasha, mishum de l'Isha is her tvei, shehi maseves al yedei shnai, al yedei ha-Baal ve'al yedei ha-Ben. So, right, an Isha can be Maseves Nachla whether through her husband or through her son. Whereas a father, right, the Baal, would only be Maseves Nachla, Masev Nachla in the case that Tosos describes. But an Isha is not Yoreshes as Baila. So therefore, there's one fewer avenue that would create Hasavas Nachla. Okay, so that seems more like a probability thing, right? You have one avenue, two avenues. If you have two avenues, that's more probable than if you have one avenue. Also, Tosos HaRosh says, it's not so, the case that Tosos describes is not so likely. It's not likely that a son is going to die before. It's not likely that a son is going to die before his mother, which would need to happen in order for the hasava to take place, going from Baal to Isha. Okay, so you could say those things, but the Achronim point to this Rashbam in order to explain it a little bit more fundamentally. So if you take a look at the Rashash, he tells you if you wanna understand the answer to Tosos's question, take a look at the Rashbam that we just looked at. So what's the idea? The idea here is that, right, for the Hasavas Nachla to take place in a case where the Baal marries into a different Sheva, there's two steps that need to happen first. Right? First, the son needs to be Yorish, then die, and then pass it on to the mother. So since the Hasavas Nachla is not what we expect, because there are those two steps, just like what the Rashbam was explaining, where you have the mother having brothers, and the brothers are going to be Yorish before her, so there would need to be two steps in order for the Yerusha to get to her. The brothers would have to die before her. So says the Rasha, the exact same thing is true here. That's why Asavas Nachla doesn't apply on the side of the Baal, but it does apply on the side of the Isha. Because it's all about the tziruf to the expectation. But once you have that tziruf, so then you have the Mechayev. Once you have the expectation, then the marriage itself is going to be a problem. And so again, right, the more pragmatically that you look at this whole question, two versus one, or it's not so likely that the son is going to die before the mother. So you might be more concerned about, okay, the result of Hasava happening. Right? It's result-oriented. And that coheres better with a more pragmatic approach that we care that the Shevet doesn't lose out. But the more that we look at it from a fundamental perspective, that we're trying to define our expectations here, and once that expectation is in place, then the marriage itself is a problem. There, the Shita of the Rashbam, the way I explained it, so that you can't explain pragmatically. What if Hasava never happens? Elamai, that's I think highlighting this different idea that the Mechayev of Hasava is again to undercut what I'm calling the Hashkafas HaYerusha, or the general system of Yerusha. And what it stands for, what it's trying to accomplish in terms of keeping the Nachla within the Sheva.
Okay, so I wanted to go through two more sugyas. So Sivas HaBen and Sivas HaBal. This is a very, very important sugya for this topic. So the Gemara Kufi Beis on the Beis. So you have a machlokas Rishonim here about how exactly to interpret this Gemara. You have different kirsos in the Rishonim. So let's review each of them. So the Gemara here says, Tanya b'sivas haben, v'tanya b'sivas habal, tanya b'sivas haben, v'lo sisov nachu, v'nei son l'mata l'mata, v'chulei v'chulei. You have two brisos, So you have to figure out what is each brisa saying. So according to the Rashban, both of these brisos hold that there is a problem both of sivas haben and also of sivas habal. Either one the Torah cares about. That's less man de poly. The only machlokas is how you darsha, right? So it's just umashma'us dorshin iko b'inai. That's what the Rashban points out. Rabbeinu Tam et Tosfos there, Dibur Masel Hafi Gar Sinan, not happy with that. It doesn't fit well with the language in the Gemara. So instead, Rabbeinu Tam interprets it differently. It says the first braisa is concerned only for Sivas Haba, but not for Sivas Haben. According to the first braisa, a ben being yorish asimo, not an iser hasavas nachu. Only when the baal is yorish. Whereas according to the second brisa, either one is a problem. And then Tosos earlier on, and Kufyat Aleph from Ibeis, other Rishonim point this out too, that there is a manda omar that says the exact opposite. And Kufyat Beis Amad Aleph, when the Gemara is going through trying to say, we know Sivas HaBen, but what about Yerusha Sabal? And it's trying to prove the existence of Yerusha Sabal from the existence of Sivas HaBal. Right? If we're worried for Sivas HaBal, what that entails, that there is such a thing as Yerusha Sabal. So then the Gemara goes back and forth and trying to say, no, there's no Raya from there, no Raya from there. So Tosfos says that according to that Manda Omar and Kufyat Beis Amad Aleph, the only thing that the Torah is worried about is Sivas HaBen, not Sivas HaBal. So just a very simple question, like what does this all revolve around? Why should we care about why should we distinguish between Sivas HaBal and Sivas HaBen? Why should we say both? Why should we say one? Why should we say one but not the other? So, and of course, this is also an intersection between two different topics in Hilchos Yerusha. On the one hand, you have the whole topic that we're discussing of Hasava, and on the other hand, you have specific forms of Yerusha. Yerushas HaBen, Yerushas HaBal. We heard a whole Chabura on Yerushas HaBal, and we know from our Limud that Yerushas HaBen may be unique. So that's also could be a variable, and we'll get back to that. So if you think that the Isser Hasava is, what I'm saying, pragmatic in nature, it's result-oriented, what we care about is that one Shevet not lose out to another Shevet, we shouldn't care at all how that happens. Shouldn't care whether it happens via the Baal, shouldn't care whether it happens via the Ben. As long as that result happens, that one Shevet lost its Nachal to another Shevet, that's going to pose a problem. And you will certainly say that the Torah was machped both on Sivas HaBen and also on Sivas HaBal. And in truth, you might even go one step further. So if you take a look at the Rishonim there, I have it in Rabbeinu Yonah, in source number 28. Some of the Rishonim make the argument that once we know of a certain form of Yerusha, and that form of Yerusha could lead to Hasava, it's possible for it to lead to Hasava, so then mimeila we know that the Torah was makbid on that hasav. So that's, I'll read it inside to try to make it more clear. It says in the bold, De'ilu kimuk minan kra b'sivas haben in chidush b'davar. Hey, why should I say that the Torah is talking about sivas haben? After all, shari kvar lo manu shehaben yoresh asimo medichsev matos v'harei ein cholik birushas haben asimo. Everybody agrees that a son inherits his mother. So says Rabbeinu Yonah, why should I interpret the Torah as having talked about Sivas HaBen? After all, I know that the Ben is Yoresh HaSimo. Once I know that, mimela I can derive that the Torah cares about Sivas HaBen. So any time that you have a form of Yerusha that could lead to Hasav, then that's automatically going to pose a problem of Hasav. So that perspective, again, you don't have to, let me phrase it this way. Just because Rabbeinu Yonah says that doesn't mean that Rabbeinu Yonah holds of a pragmatic approach to Hasava. But if you start from the opposite direction, if you think that the problem of Hasava is lessening the Nachla of one Shevet
then you're certainly going to say that, right? Because any time that you could, that hasava could take place, you're going to be makbid about it. So as long as you know the facts that it could lead to hasava, you're going to be makbid about that. So again, pragmatic approach, you're going to take both sibas habal and also sibas haben. But why would we be mechalik between sibas habal and sibas haben? Why, according to Rabbeinu Tam, for example, let's start with Rabbeinu Tam. Why would we say that only sibas habal is a problem, but not sibas haben? So if you look at the Ramban, and also the Ravid's quoted in the Shita Mekubetzes, this is on page number 5, source number 29. So the Ramban there, at the very end, he explains that the reason why we're not going to be makbid for sibas haben is because bina kara de avuha. The ben is considered like yarech imo, and therefore that's not going to be a violation of hasavas nachla. So I think there are three assumptions that the Ramban is making here. Number one, he's assuming that Yerusha's Haben in general is a unique form of Yerusha. There's a lot of evidence towards that conclusion, so that seems pretty, pretty defensible. Number two, he's assuming that the uniqueness of Yerusha's Haben, being a Yerusha of Kam Tachtav or Benar Kara Davua, that that's going to apply to Yerusha's Haben as Imo the same way that it applies to Yerusha's Haben as Aviv. That's also, I don't think such a, I think that's a pretty solid assumption, because after all, in general, we say mishpachas eimina mishpacha. Why is the ben being yorish imo to begin with? Unless you appeal to something like this, that yerushas haben entirely is just a different form of yerusha. But the third assumption that the Ramban is making, which is the most relevant for us, is that certainly the iser hasava is not result-oriented. Because it's very nice that Yerusha's Haben is Bina Kara Davua, but it's still going to change from Sheva to Sheva. So if all that you care about is that change, then it shouldn't really matter how it took place, whether it took place through classical Yerusha or whether it took place through Bina Kara Davua, shouldn't matter at all. However, if you think that the Isser Hasava is more formal in nature and that the Mechayev here is really like causing an affront to the whole system of Yerusha. So then, once you have this unique form of Bina Kara de Avua, which tempers, if not totally neutralizes, like the transfer between parent and child, right? It's like Kam Tachta, Rabbi said last night, you're stepping up instead of the Nachla coming down. So there wasn't really any transfer here, right? So you can't say that causes a problem you can't say that causes an affront to the whole system of Yerusha. There was the system of Yerusha didn't really take place here. There was something else. There was something unique that took place here. And that's why we allowed it to begin with. So that would be the way to explain why we limited Hasavas Nachla to only Sivas Habal, but we excluded Sivas Haben. And you could say something very similar in the opposite direction. For the Manda Amar Kufya Bezam and Aleph, that we're going to apply it only to Sivas Haben, but not to Sivas Habal. So you'll say what Rabbi said earlier in the Chaburah. If you say, if Yerusha Sabal, certainly if it's like totally outside of the realm of Yerusha, it's a schus ishus, so it's nothing to talk about. And even if you say that it's a din in She'erus, like many Rishonim say in Shemigil Chaburah, so still, that's a unique form. You might not call it Yerusha. If you call it Yerusha, it's certainly going to be a unique subset of Yerusha. And for the very same reasoning that we explained for Rabbeinu Tam, why it wouldn't apply, why Asavas Nachla wouldn't be a problem when you say Bina Kara Davua, you'll also say that Asavas Nachla is not a problem when the Baal is Yorish Yishto Mishum She'irus. Because you're not appealing or you're not functioning through the classic system of Yerusha. And if the Mechayev of Asavas Nachla is an affront to that system, you need to use the system in order for the Mechayev to be there. Yeah, right.
With the Bina Kara Davua in the Ramban to explain why Asavas Haben would be a problem, and you may have said this and I missed this, can you say that him being an extension of her, and there are echoes of this also, is that he's one of us, kind of. He's or even a mother from a Shevet, even though he's Nich, he's Miyuchas Achar, Miyachar Av, from a technical perspective, he's still considered to be part of the extension of his mother, and therefore, even the grandfather won't be so upset if the grandson gets it, who's still connected. Another Yorish, the father, and then his Yorish, that would maybe be a different story.
Right. So that's the next Sugya that we're going to discuss of Kar Huzba. Yeah. Right. But I think the problem with saying that here is just that even if you say, that there's only so far you can go. Even if you say that the Ben still has like a shame, shevet of his mother, but still, in terms of possession, it's transferred.
right? In terms of rishus, in terms of bailos, it's transferred.
Right.
So it's hard to say.
Right, but on Karvus, what we are acknowledging that even when technically it's still already going to be destined to go to the different shiva, we would still even have akpada on somehow in maintaining a kesher.
Yeah,
to right. Shifted the ima.
Right.
So
you're saying in the opposite direction.
Which mitigates
now.
It. It's meaning he is still viewed somewhat. Even disregarding, it could be that. It's not come tachta kari de avua in echna means korva, just a higher degree of korva than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
But the key is that he is viewed as still a chalos of his mother shevet.
Right.
Even
well, let's
as
say like the Rashbam, for example, right? He still calls that hasava b'miktas, right?
Correct.
Meaning that
b'miktas,
but that's still going to be a problem, I think. Meaning what we're makpid on to prevent hasava, we might take the shevet ha'im into account. Right? But when we're defining whether Hasava happens, the existence of the Shiva Ra'im is not going to be sufficient to say
that. You're noting that the Raya is not a valid Raya, just because we've been makbid on not being more Husva, the more of it going in the opposite direction.
You're going to be more makbid on both sides.
Right.
Right? Yeah. Okay. Any questions? All the Raya's got. Okay. all right. So. I also wanted to discuss here, so now we've explained why limit it to Sivas HaBaal, Sivas HaBen. Let's say the way, I think we were probably passing, the way the Rashbam certainly understands the Sugya, that both are a problem. Sivas HaBaal and Sivas HaBen are both a problem. What's the relationship between those? Are they just like two different Hechitimtzes? Or they're actually two different Chaluyos, two different Isurim? So, So again, I think it revolves around the same point. If you think that Hasavas Nachla is all, it's a pragmatic halacha, right? We're worried about the result. So again, we don't really care how it happened as long as it did happen. So you're not going to say that Sivas HaBaal and Sivas HaBen are two different Isurim. No, there's one Isur of Hasavas Nachla. The Torah tells you that there are two different Hechitimtzas and that we care about each one, right? That's probably what you would say if you took that type of approach. But let's analyze for a second the position of the Rashbam, especially in light of what we already know. The Rashbam holds that you're chayav malchus b'shas nisuin. And he also holds that we care about both Sivas HaBaal and Sivas HaBen. Right? So hold on. We said before that for the Rashbam, you're chayav malchus even if the Hasava never happens. And then there's also two different types of Hasava, Sivas HaBaal and Sivas HaBen. But it might not even ever happen, right? So what the Rashbam is seemingly saying is that each one of these types of hasava, each one, Sivas HaBaal and Sivas HaBen, are two different chaluyos. And there's two different isurim in the Torah. One, to pass your nachla onto the Baal, and two, to pass your nachla onto the Ben. In Achinami, each one ends up with the same result, that it enters a different shevet, but each form, each manner in which you pass the nachla onto a different sheva, whether it goes through the Baal or through the Ben, each one is going to be a problem. And therefore, you could get, if we darshan the psukim as there being one iser for Sivas HaBaal and one iser for Sivas HaBen, I would assume you get malchus for each. And what do you guys think? You get, for the Rashbam, you get one set of malchus or two sets of malchus? Huh? Anybody think about that? What do you think? You think too? That's what I thought also. I don't know. So I think that's what's sensible in reading the Rashbam. And if that's the case, then what we're going to explain is that, again, according to this same Mahal, when you get married and you marry into a different Sheva, so you're establishing that foundation for a Hasava, so not only are you creating an expectation, but every way, every different expectation is like a separate affront to the system. The fact that you created an avenue for the Baal to get your Nachla, the fact that you created an avenue for a future son to get your Nachla, each one of those is an independent violation. Now you look confused.
Yeah, I'm saying, I guess in Lamedus it's sort of easy to understand, but like, it's interesting to characterize those as two different chaluyos if it's impossible practically
for them both to happen.
No, meaning you can't
definitionally
you can't definitionally only allow for the possibility of a subsabal and not a subsabal and vice versa. Right? If she get so
I mean, right. Just by getting married, you're automatically...
Yeah, meaning you have no choice but to... So...
Marry Cyrus.
I hear. So Rabbi Hanan talks about some of these nafkaminas.
Yeah, exactly.
Rabbi Hanan talks about, first of all, he says, maybe for Sibas HaBen, you'll only be chayev bishas bia. You won't be chayev bishas nisu. He says that, Lamaisa, right? Rabbi Hanan.
Yeah,
he says that. And then he also, he discusses, I think, also, what if the Baal says, what if he's mistalik from the Yerusha? Still going to be over on Sivas HaBaal. So he has nafkaminas between them. But I don't even think that the Rashbam needs to.
Why would you consider setting up having children from the marriage? Setting up having children earliest is from the Bia.
Maybe. I mean, it might get into certainly the marriage, the expectation of children are born. And also we don't find any, it's a little bit of a chiddush, no? And we don't find anywhere that like the Shas Bia is a significant.
For Ravu, that's a discussion. I mean, when the vice is for Ravu, that's Gufa, meaning maybe it's similar to that. There's a kid mitzvah when I have kids, but is the whole mitzvah when the kids are born, or is there something I'm doing? By doing my
shadows
to have kids.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But I'm saying we don't find anywhere that the Shas Bia is relevant when it comes to Asava. Like he's saying if Sibas HaBen is true, then it must be because I hear you. I don't know. I didn't think.
For Ravu, Rav Chana says it's a Toksa Mitzvah. It's one of his examples in this famous piece that a Toksa Mitzvah that would just.
Because the marriage is supposed to lead to children, so that's already nachshav b'shas nisirin. And then you're right. It's unfortunate, but every single time that every marriage is going to, by definition, create both of those expectations. But what the Torah is saying is that we don't care only about the fact that Asava is going to take place. We care about every single avenue in which Asava could take place. Does that make sense? All right, so let's try to wrap it up. So let's talk about the sug of Kfar Huspa. So it's very complicated Shalach Vitari here in Kufya Bezim and Aleph between Abai and Rav Papa. The Rishonim have different ways of interpreting that Shalach Vitari. So let's just review what each of the Rishonim say. So at least for a couple. So Tosfos over here, Toso says that Abaye fits into the rest of the sugya, and what Abaye is trying to say is that we know that. Okay, so this is going to get so confusing for me. So, if you have a woman who's of mixed shvatim, right? So she's a basu rashas nachla mimatos bnei Yisrael. Who does she have to marry? Does she have to marry only someone of the same paternal sheva, or also of the same maternal sheva? So Toso says that Abaye takes for granted that she has to marry someone of both paternal and maternal shvatim, and that being the case, so that proves the existence of Sivas HaBaal and Yerusha HaBaal. So that's how Abaye flows from the rest of the sugya. The Rashbam thinks that Abaye has a suffer, that he's not sure when you have a woman who's of mixed shvatim, is she obligated to marry a man also of mixed shvatim? And the suffix is going to turn on whether you say Kfar Huspa Amrinon or Kfar Huspa Lo Amrinon, which the Rishonim interpret in different ways, but for the Rashbam, Kfar Huspa Amrinon means the Nachla was already somewhat Huspa. It was Huspa Mimiktas, because when it went from the woman's mother to her, so it already transferred Shlatin a little bit, right? But it wasn't Huspa Legamre, because we consider the daughter to have almost like a shame shevet of both the mother and the father. So we could at least keep it within that hybrid. We could preserve that hybrid if she marries a man who's also of mixed shvat. The Rimi Gash has a third opinion of how to read the sugya here, and he's just bothered by let's say you have a woman of mixed shvatim. How is it going to help that she marries that she marries someone of mixed shvatim, because for the Rimi Gash, the whole sugya was talking about prior to the death of the mother. So there's a machlokas in between the Rashbam and the Rimigash. What's the sugya talking about? Is it where the mother has already died and her daughter has yarshined her already? For the Rashbam, there's already been a hasava b'miktas. Whereas for the Rimigash, the whole sugya is assuming that the mother has yet to die. And we're discussing the daughter who's the product of this mixed shivat marriage. Does she have to marry mixed shvatim also or not? But she hasn't yet inherited the mother. So these three, I'm going over these three different interpretations of the sugya because they're going to be important for each of the nekudos in the sugya. So the way I thought it was easiest to just conceptualize the sugya was just to go kind of point by point. So that's what we're going to do. So point number one, is there an obligation to marry if a woman is of mixed shvatim, does she have to marry a man of mixed shvatim? So Rashbam says that's a safik. So what's really the safik about? So again, might turn on this question. If the more pragmatic of an approach, and result-oriented of approach you take to Hasava, so once she already inherited from her mother, so it changed hands, so why should we really care? Right? And especially the mother Shevet is not, it's Lomala Velomuri. Right? There's no possession that the mother Shevet has. So why should we care if she marries someone who has the same maternal Shevet as her? However, if you take a more formal approach to the whole question of Hasavas Nachla, so then the Chiddush of this Suya is that we care not only about the owners of the Shevet, namely the paternal Shevet, the owners of the Nachla, namely the paternal Shevet, but also any shame that's on the Nachla. Right? So the Chiddush of the Suya is that even the Shevet of the Ein is like part of the shame Nachla. The Nachla belongs to both the Shevet Ha'av and the Shevet Ha'im, when you have a Basu Rashas Nachla, Mimatos B'nai Yisrael. And despite the fact that the Shevet Ha'im has no possession of the Nachla, nonetheless, it's still important. And that's, again, because we care about the Chalos HaShevet. We care about the lineage and the legacy of the Shevet. So we want to keep that alive. And that would be the tzad to say that she would have to marry someone also of mixed Shvatim in order to keep that legacy alive. Yeah, sweet.
The affiliation of the piece of land to the Shvatim now changed, and now there are three backers involved for the next door?
No, I think we cut it at
you have to cut it, right?
At two. Yeah, I think that's what emerges from, like, when you talk about like grandchildren. Yeah. It's also because once Hasava Legamre takes place, so then there's an argument to say, you know, we don't care anymore. It's, yeah.
Father Shiva is clearly dominant for the children going forward.
Yeah, for sure.
In the sugya, no?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and there's no question that the father Shiva is dominant and is the possessor. The only question in the sugya...
And even the grandchildren won't maintain the kesher, the ima, of more than one generation of the Rashbam.
Right.
The ima is only significant for one generation.
Right, right. I'm going to get to Arima Gash, there's something really interesting on that, and I'm connecting back to a grandparent generation. But we'll get to that in a second. Okay, so that's the first point. The second point. So let's say that the daughter already inherits her mother. Like we said before, there's machlokes between the Rashbam and the Rimigash. What's the case? Did the mother die yet or not? So according to the Rashbam, she died, and therefore the daughter inherited her. And nonetheless, the Rashbam is saying we still have this question whether Hasava b'miktas took place. Are we going to allow Hasava Gemura? For the Rimigash, it seems that there is no such thing, there's no distinction between Hasava B'miktas and Hasava Gemura. Once Hasava B'miktas took place, then, like we said before, it's a reset. Right? For the Rimigash, the whole question in the Sugya is prior to the inheritance of the daughter. That's when we want to know, does she have to marry someone of the same Shvat? Once she inherits, and the Hasava took place from her mother to her, then all bets are off. So I wasn't really sure what that question turns on. You know, for the Rashbam, we certainly care about every quantitative degree of Hasava. Whereas for the Rimigash, as long as Hasava happened, so then that's going to be the end of the story. Not sure whether that really is totally on our discussion, so we'll go past that, but it's just important to know regardless. Okay, here's where I want to get to the point Robbie was saying before. So let's say you have someone who marries a man of mitzvah, right? So how's that going to solve the... So that solves Sibas Habba, because the Baal is also of the same shlach. How is that going to solve Sibas Haben? After all, the son is going to have the paternal, right? He's going to follow, he's going to have only one shevet, right? Because if the mother is maternal Shimon and paternal Reuven, and the father is paternal Reuven and maternal Shimon, so then the son is going to be all Reuven. So how does that solve Sibas Haben? So Tulso says, you know what, we can't do anything about it. Nothing we can do, so don't worry about it. But the Rimi Gash is an amazing line. It says, for that purpose, we view the son's grandmother as giving him the shevet of Shimon, for the purpose of having those two shemos. So again, you see the lengths to which the Rishonim are willing to go in order to say that the shemos of the Shvatim are still intact, and how much we care about it. Rimi Gash is not willing to wave his hands and say, oh, there's nothing we can do, so therefore, you know, we're not going to care about it. No, we care about having the same shemos of the Shvatim on the Nachla as much as we possibly can, and we're going to like go back two generations in order to try to produce that. So again, that corroborates a more formal approach to Hasavas Nachla. If you take a pragmatic approach, none of this matters. Okay. And then finally, one of my favorite points that I was very struck by when I was doing the sugya. So there's a havamina kufya beis on the beis, where the Gemara says havamina afilu ipcha. Maybe if you have a daughter, and her paternal shevet is Reuven, her maternal shevet is Shimon, maybe says the Rashbam, she can marry someone also of Reuven and Shimon, but in the opposite order. Right, that her mother is, I don't remember what I said anymore, but her mother is of Reuven and her father is of Shimon. I think that's right. So it's a striking havamina, right? Because from the perspective of the possession of the Nachala, this doesn't help at all. But Mikol Makom, says the Rashbam, the havamina is that as long as you have the Shemos of the Shvatim on this Nachala, so the Havamina is that we don't care about where those Shemos came from, whether they came from the mother or from the father. As long as they're there, then you've kept the Nachla intact. Kamashmul and the Torah, then no, you have to get the same shame from the mother and the same shame from the father. But the Havamina itself is an amazing demonstration of this approach, that what we care about is the Shemos of the Shevet and the Nachla, and that itself ties in very nicely with what we've developed throughout the Chaburah, that the idea of Hasavas Nachla is to undermine the link of the Shevet to the Nachla. And in general, you know, the Hashkafa of Yerusha, of keeping the Nachla within its lineage and within its legacy. Okay, so we're going to wrap up with one last point. So there's a machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid. I think this is the last in the last sources, 33 and 34. So take a look at the Rambam in Nachlos Aleph Yod Gimel. So the Rambam points out at the very end, "Afilu haya katan ben yoma v'lo kalu lo chadashav, ho'el v'chaya achar imo shah achas umeis, hariz enochel as imo umanchel hanachla liyorshav mimishpat hasavit." If you have a Nathal, but he lived, right? Says the Rambam, as long as he lived, so then he could be manchil le'echav min ha'av. He could be yorish as imo bekever. The Ravid disagrees. The Ravid says no. He needs kalu lo chadashav in order to be yor yeshisimu bekever lahanchil le'echav minahav. So what's the nekuda samachlokas? So there's a very important Reb Chaim in Hilchos Trumos in Perek Ches Halacha Dali. Reb Chaim discusses the status of ubar with respect to Yerusha, and Reb Chaim develops this yesod that someone could be. He distinguishes between, this is like part of like a hakdamah shir to Yerusha. He distinguishes between the Choshen Mishpat aspect of Yerusha and what we might call the Yoredeya aspect of Yerusha. Meaning, he distinguishes between the Zechias Mamon of Yerusha and the Shem Yorish of Yerusha. And he explains that an Ubar has a Shem Yorish despite the fact that he doesn't have Zechias Mamon, and therefore, once the Ubar is Nolad, he can go back to the Achim and get his Nachala. even though he, right, at the time of the Chalukas Nechasim, he was nowhere to be found. But because he had a Shein Yorish, Bishas Misas Hamorish, so therefore he always has the right to his Nachla. And based on this split, this division between a Shein Yorish and a Zoche and Dine Mominus, so Reb Chaim explains the Machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid. He explains as follows. According to the Ravid, in order to be Manchil, Le'echav Min Ho'av, what you need is full-fledged Rishus of the Nechasim. Since this Nefel doesn't have a Zechias Mamon of the Nechasim, so he can't be Manchil Le'echav Min Ho'av. However, for the Rambam, in order to be Manchil Le'echav Min Ho'av, just having the Shem Yorish is sufficient. Rambam agrees there's no Zechias Mamon for the Nefel, but just having the Shem Yorish, the fact that these Nechasim entered his Rishus, at least from the perspective of the Yoridea type of Yerusha, that is sufficient in order to be manchil le'echav min ha'av. So I thought maybe this could be tied to the same idea that we've been developing, at least from the Rambam's perspective. Let's just explain Titas Rambam. Why would I suffice with just having a Shein Yorish without Zechias Mamon in order to be manchil le'echav min ha'av, right? The whole idea of that we don't allow someone to be manchil le'echav min ha'av to be for a ben to be yorish shesimo bekever is because we want to prevent hasavas nachala. That's the gemara kufnin tasmid base. Hasavas nachala is going to take place here. So we only allow a ben to be manchil le'echav min ha'av when it first enters his rishus. So why, for the Rambam, is shame yorish sufficient in order to allow for the ben to be manchil le'echav min ha'av? So I think based on what we've discussed the entire Chabura, we can explain. Because if the whole mechayiv of Hasavas Nachala is to undermine the system of Yerusha, well then what we're going to follow, the din that we're going to follow is not Zechias Mamon. The din that we're going to follow is the Shein Yorish. Since the Ben has the Shein Yorish, so then Hasavas Nachala is not taking place. Because it did enter his Rishus from a Yerusha perspective. Didn't enter his Rishus from a Mamonist perspective. And if we took a pragmatic approach to the Isser, so then we would certainly require a Zechias Mamon. But because, from a formal perspective, the whole idea of Hasavas Nachala is to undercut the Hashkaf of Yerusha, the system of Yerusha, and the lineage. So once one has the Shein Yorish, that lineage has been taken care of, it's been protected, and therefore Hasavas Nachala won't apply to be Morish Le'echav Binah. Okay,
Ashkar. Okay. Rabbi, you're next week?